Okay, if you could get your seats, we will get started here. Who didn't get the last note? They have more. Anyone not enough? Okay. There should be one that's 6 pages. It's 3 sheets stapled, double-sided. And then there's a single double-sided sheet, which is the article. Does everybody have both of those? Another, I got more of the. Anyone else? Okay. The article again is just a. It's not a directly something directly written by Dr. Moeller. He's the president of one of the Southern Baptist seminaries. A conservative man. He's a prolific writer. Notice here, I put down here, even though there are references to covenant theology, at least the covenant group, and I'm not saying I fully disagree or agree with it. I'm not a covenant theologian. Covenant theology usually says that the church is somehow Israel today, one way or another. Either we took the place of it, we're spiritual Israel, or something like that, and I don't believe that. I believe in dispensationalism, which would be a different form, but of understanding that takes things more literally. But even though he refers to it, it's not throwing it out. He even says it here, and I say it in my little introduction here, as the summary states toward the end, in Ephesians 6, Paul universalizes the fifth command to all of God's people everywhere. It's not just for Israel and about the promised land. And so many people throw out the Old Testament and miss. The Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God as prophet. That doesn't mean all of it directly relates. God didn't promise me a land over in Israel. Okay, I'm not a Jew in that way, but there's other things that come along that are part of God. And when God addresses morality or like the Ten Commandments, every one of those has impact on us today. Even the Sabbath, even though we don't observe the Sabbath, there's principles that apply there. God rested on the seventh day before there ever was a law, before there ever was a Jewish nation, okay? So there's things to be had and learned from that, and you can't just flush the Old Testament down the tubes like a lot of our group does today. That's in the Old Testament. Well, why do we still carry the Old Testament then? Well, if you're going to throw that out, be sure and throw out Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, because most of that happened under the Old Testament as well. The Old Testament economy, before Jesus died, it's all Old Testament. So there's things to learn, you know, and then what do you quit learning? But the Bible says these things are given that we can learn from their examples as well as other things. There's principles there. There's the nature of God that's presented in the Old Testament, even the law, that there's something to be learned there, even though it might not directly apply today. And my example is this. Even though we wouldn't take our child out and stone our child today, we're not required to do that. That shows how big of a deal God thought it was to follow your parents in the Old Testament. It still emphasizes that, even though it's not for today. It still smacks of the importance of that, right? So don't toss the Old Testament out like some people do, and it's like they're making some scoff. Well, that's in the Old Testament. It's like, so is marriage. And people have thrown marriage out today, because they refuse to acknowledge the Old Testament and notice where it gets them. So, Judy, you had a question. False. Is that not true? You know, they don't throw them out. They just explain them away. But you know what? I don't expect the world to keep the Ten Commandments, but I expect the church to. And the church is explaining it away. And if the church doesn't, the world's not going to learn about the Ten Commandments apart from the church. Fair? So, and whether or not it's up in some courtroom is almost irrelevant, because the church doesn't keep it, by and large. We worship outside. We don't gather together with people because we're out worshiping at the race or the ball game or the you know what I'm saying? It's the same thing. We just think we're more holy because we show up every now and then. And it's like, no. You know, so it doesn't work that way. And we have our Christian slang that takes God's name in vain. I remember my sergeant in the army, saying, you know, I figured you out, Subra. You have a word that replaces every one of my swear words. And I'm like, I do. I have to change my work, you know. So, good point, you know, kind of things. So we have to be careful. Anyway, read this document sometime. Mark it up. I thought it was good. It's not super deep or anything. It just brings up the idea that, hey, it applies today. And it's not just for kids. And we're going to get into that probably in 2 weeks. How long does submitting to your parents last? How long is honoring your parents last? Okay. Now, this other one is like a work in progress. Okay, and it's certainly not exhaustive, though you might look at it and already feel exhausted. But it's not exhaustive. It doesn't cover everything that the Bible says. It's only primarily passages that address honoring parents or fathers and mothers to some degree. There's way more than that. It's just a couple brief searches that I've categorized. And so you notice that there's 5 pages, and I've categorized them. And again, it's not done. It's not finished. It's just rough categories at best. But what I want to draw your attention to first, and we're answering the question today, we looked at last week, it's very important to God to honor your parents. Okay, if it's important, what does it mean to honor your parents? Okay, that's what we're talking about today. So let's just ask God to help us. Lord, help us to learn. And Lord, we are thankful for our parents of the past and those that have brought these things to our attention, to our details. But Lord, we see in our entire culture, including our church culture, that we are abandoning this concept almost in total. Children have become the focal point of our life rather than teaching them to honor their parents and ultimately all authority and ultimately God. And Lord, we dishonor you by not teaching them. And Lord, help us to pass this on to our kids in this way as well. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. By the way, by extension, all here teaching all kids to honor their parents. So understand, if you don't have kids or don't have kids at home or you're not married yet, it doesn't matter. We're the church, and this is given to the church as well. So what I want to draw your attention to first, on the first page, the category column is the first column. I want to go down to the command section. See where it's there? And we're just going to see how many times this is brought up. Now, you can look there. It's kind of half of the first page. Turn the page and look how many times it's brought up or discussed. Okay, so it's about a full page, maybe a hair more than a page, okay? Part of it there, I've put in some of the different translations or whatever as well. Some of that's for my benefit for later. But I just want to bring in, we looked at the first two recently, at Exodus 20, 12 is the first time this is given. Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. So that's the first time the command is shown. That's the first time the Ten Commandments are given at the foot of Mount Sinai. The second time, what did we say Deuteronomy meant? Was that last week? Second law. Onomos is Greek for law. Deuter or Deuteros is two or second, so it's the second law. Moses gave the book of Deuteronomy before God took him home. Deuteronomy is a series of 3 sermons. Just 3, yes. 3 sermons of Moses, okay. So he gives it again and he expands on it. We gave you the comparison of Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5 last week. I think I have some copies of that if you want as well too, if you weren't here. But notice it says, honor your father and mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, that, 2 things now, your days may be long. We call that what? Quantity of days or long life, and then it may be well with you in the land which your Lord God has given you. That is good life or quality. So both quality and quantity are affected, and by the way, those are repeated in Ephesians 6. As if they applied for today, even though they're in the Old Testament, And even though they're in the law, they still apply today. So there are things that we must learn, and we have to be careful before we discard things of the Old Testament from the New. It doesn't apply it. It just brings it, it quotes the Old Testament as though you're obviously supposed to obey your parents because the Old Testament says to honor your parents. Okay? It's not like, okay, I'm applying this for today. It's assuming that the Old Testament, that passage anyway, is still in force for today. Now, command Matthew 15. We're going to look at this a little later, but Jesus brought it up to the Pharisees. Okay? The Pharisees says, why do your disciples transgress the traditions of the elders by not washing their hands? Jesus answered and said, why do your traditions violate the commandments of God? He doesn't even answer their question, ultimately. He says, and then verse 15, for God commanded, seemingly implying that it's still in force today, you know, at that time anyway, honor your father and mother, and he who curses father and mother, let him be put to death. So the command is brought up by Jesus there. Matthew 15, same passage. He brings it up again. The Pharisees found a workaround bypassing the responsibility to care for their parents when they're old. Said, if you do this, then you need not honor your father and mother. And therefore, Jesus said, by doing this, you have made the commandment of God, you're talking about your traditions, you've made the commandment of God of no effect. You violated the command of God. Matthew 19, it's brought up again. Now behold, one came and said to him, good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? So he said to him, and he starts listening, well, he said, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. A reference to Jesus' own deity. Either I'm God or I'm not. Don't call me good if I'm not God. Call me God if I am, kind of thing. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. Now, this sounds like a work salvation, right? But why were the commandments given? Can you get to heaven if you keep the commandments? The answer is yes, if you keep them perfectly. Any problems here? So Jesus goes on to listen. If you want to enter life, keep the commandments. Jesus isn't lying. It's true. If you keep all the commandments perfectly, you earn eternal life. Look at Romans chapter 2. But then Romans 3 quotes Isaiah and says, there's none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned, all fall short of the glory of God. Right? So then the commandments show us that we need God. Okay? Another conversation. Look at Romans 3:19 in that general area. Romans 3:10 to 3:21, roughly there, before you get to Romans 3:23. The commandments were given to teach us that we need God, that all may fall under sin, that all may be under grace, that God could save everyone. Okay? That they might understand the need of God. But look, he said to him, which ones? Jesus said, well, you should not murder, you should not commit adultery, you should not steal, you should not bear false witness, honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbors yourself. Seeming all the people ones, we do the list here, and we didn't list them all. Okay? And Jesus, I think he listed them all there, ultimately. But they're still in force at that point. Get it? So far, they're still there. They're still applicable. Even though people don't keep them perfectly, just because you don't keep them perfectly doesn't mean they don't apply. Another similar quote, Mark 7, for Moses said, honor your father and mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. That relates to the same Matthew 15 passage. It's a parallel passage where it says, you've made the commandments of God of no effect. Mark 10, as he was going down the road, one came running, knelt before him and asked him, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? No one's good. So it's a parallel passage with Matthew 19. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother. And he said, he answered, said to him, teacher, all of these things I've kept from my youth. Okay? Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him. and said to him, one thing you lack, go your way, sell whatever you have, and give to the poor. You will have treasure in heaven. Come, take up your cross and follow me. And he was sad at his word, and he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard is it for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God? What was the issue? Yeah, that was his God, right? He was putting something before God. He said, sell everything you have and you can follow me. I've kept all the commandments. Oh, let's start with number one. How are you doing? Guilty. Okay. Luke 18, now a certain ruler asked him, saying, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? So this is a parallel passage with Mark 10 and Matthew 19. So Jesus answered, why do you call me good? No one's good but one, that's God. You know the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor your father and mother. And he said, all these things I've kept from my youth. So when Jesus heard these things, he said, you still lack one thing, sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have the treasure in heaven. Come follow me. When he heard this, he became very sorrowful, for he was very rich. Now, these are parallel passages talking about apparently the same circumstance, but understand this. God brought this up over and over again. He keeps bringing up all the commandments before our faces. Like, this is an important concept to get before us. And again, we can't keep the commandments perfectly. That's why we need God's grace. All of sin falls short of the glory of God. But that does not diminish the effect of the command. Those are still holy standards by which God intends us to live by. Now, Ephesians 6, 1 through 3, one that's a little more common. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. He just quotes from Deuteronomy 5. How do we know it's Deuteronomy 5? Because it says that your names may be long in the land, or excuse me, that it may be well with you and you may live long in the earth. Those are found in Deuteronomy 5, not Exodus 20. Okay? And again, there's the command there. I don't know why I have repeated Exodus 20 there, because we've already looked at it. But notice, must have misspelled something or whatever. But Leviticus 19, every one of you shall revere his father and mother. It states it a different way. And I put the Yahweh, the Hebrew word, to fear, revere, or be afraid. If you want Pastor Sean to pronounce it correctly, feel free to do that. It's probably much more guttural than I pronounce it. It's probably Yahweh or something. But to fear, revere, or be afraid. And notice he summarizes it two things. Fear your parents, keep my Sabbath. For I am the Lord your God. Your relationship to God is connected with your relationship to your parents. Do you see that? You cannot have a good relationship with God without also having a good relationship with your parents. Mark 10. We've already listed that too, so some of those are duplicate. I was working off two different lists for reasons that may not make sense to you, but okay. Now, so we have the command. God brings it up over and over. It's an issue, and he speaks as though it's in effect for today. All right? Did I add Colossians in there? Was that there? Somehow that's not. Huh? Yeah, but I don't see it in my list. It's there. It's farther in the list somewhere. Anyway, so the command is there. Here's the why from last week. It's important. Why is it important? God shows that it's very important for at least five reasons. There's probably more, lots more reasons than five, but that's the five we gave last week. Now, we have the concept of the command here, okay, and it's brought up in the Old Testament and the New several times, okay, and not just from what I showed you. This is the actual where it says, honor your father and mother, or revere, okay, just that. It's a repeating of the command in some way, including in its Old Testament and New Testament, including Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Ephesians. There's no argument that it's in effect today. Okay? Now, what does it mean? And now I want to go I'm looking here. Let's go to, it's like the fourth page. It's O for obedience. Let's go there first, because I think that's the one we think about first. But folks, obedience is there. Understand it. I'm not arguing against obedience. In fact, obedience clearly is one of the things that we owe our parents. And you can see that in the New Testament in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents for this in the Lord, for this is right. And then here's my proof. Deuteronomy 5 says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And here's even a little incentive that it may be well with you and you may live long in the earth. Quality of life, quantity of life. So obedience, obeying our parents is one of those. Now, I the more I study the Bible, the more I believe that this... Who, by the way, Ephesians 6, who's that written to? Church at Ephesus, but I mean Ephesians 6, 1 says whom? Children. Who are children? We're going to talk, it'll probably be 2 weeks from now, when does this end? And again, I understand that I think we've bent this. We've lost this. I'm looking for a pen. It's written to children. In Ephesians 6, do you remember the people? I'm giving you a preview of where we're going. Ephesians 6 and 5. Ephesians 5 and 6 list people in different categories. First one, just to explain where I'm going, is wives. What are they supposed to do? Submit to their own husbands. Okay, we're just going to use the verse. What's the next one? Wives and husbands. What are husbands to do? Love their wives as Christ loved the church. Who's the next group? Ephesians 6:1, children. What? Obey. What's the next group? Nope. Fathers. Missed one there. Fathers. Bring up, okay? Do not provoke. Do not provoke. Two commands. Do not provoke a negative command. And bring up children and nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, what's the next one? Jenny? Bondservants or slaves. I'm just going to put slaves. King James uses bondservants. Slaves, what? Obey your masters. And then, what's the last one? Masters. Masters. What's the verb? Is it treat? Huh? Yeah, what's the verb? I don't remember off the top of my head. Do the same things? As what? Okay. I'll just put this as a treat kindly or something like that, okay? Okay. Treat kindly because you're not the ultimate master, okay? Notice here, this is where I'm going. If this is true, now this is a premise that I'm going to offer in a couple weeks, but what's missing out of here that churches often have today? See, the Bible saw only six categories of people.
Adults.
Yeah, adults. If I told you to do a study on adults, yeah, do a word study on adults and see how many times it shows up. We'll use that in a couple of weeks. In the Bible, adults, do a study and write down all the verses that the word adult shows up in. Will you do that for me? But these are looking under, these four would be family categories, right? And this would be more of an economic category, probably. I don't know how to, so it's not really looking at, you're in one or more of these categories. You don't have adults. You don't have, notice, you don't have any single adults. Now, does that mean adults aren't single? Let me give you a heads up. You do a study, but you will not find the word adult in all of the Bible. That is a Western culture word. And we say, well, you're old enough to drink, you're old enough to smoke, you're old enough to chew because you are now what? That is a foreign concept. Its maturity is part of it, but you never are an adult in the sense of you never cease being a child of your parents. These have to do with relationships. You're a child as long as you have parents in that regard. If your parents are telling you to do something, you're obeying them. Now, again, there's stipulations and all of that, but it does. What do we think of when we think of children? We have children's church. Do we all run to children's church? No, it's the little kids. It's not a word for little kids. It's a generic word for kids. It's children. Okay? Children, we always say, obey your parents. Now, little children, obey your parents, but not us big children. But we are categorized in here, and we fit there. That's why. And we talked about it, when you get married, there's a change of relationship, but it doesn't totally cut that relationship. Because we'll see that in a couple weeks. It goes to death and beyond. Even in your list, you can see that. But you don't have a youth group in a sense either. Okay, there's not, I'm on my own now. You see a responsibility to parents throughout your life to some degree or another. And again, they aren't your God, but the Bible says you have to be rightly related to your parents to be rightly related to God. And it doesn't say don't honor your parents in these situations. Okay, sometimes you have to choose God over your parents, but that's because you're choosing to honor God, not to dishonor your parents, because He's the higher authority. Okay, but you don't see a category of adults there. Because you're in one of those, and we said seemingly the Bible indicates that you're under direct authority of your parents until when? Marriage. See, this, to me, it fits the Old Testament. It's not a change. Where now, the way we do it today, it's a change because I'm an adult, I'll go do what I want. The Mueller article will bring this up. He talks about people... We live in an age of intentional orphans. Modern psychology teaches that we need to kill off our parents' influence if we want to come into our own. 180 degrees different than what the Bible teaches. The Bible says, God says, I gave you parents to impact your entire life. Not so you think you're big enough or smart enough to do it, because you aren't. You're still learning all of your life. You still need that direction. Even though they're imperfect, we talked about that. Anyone here have perfect parents? No brownie points for my children today. They would be lying if they raised their hand. They don't. So, brownie points for being honest. Okay, but the idea is no one had perfect parents, and God knew that. He said, honor your parents anyway. And there's no stipulation until you reach a certain age, until you get a certain IQ, until you whatever. Okay? So, obedience. Obedience seems to be something that carries on. Now, to what degree or what, I don't even know if I can draw the line, but it doesn't cease at 18. Okay? There's nothing in the Bible that indicates that whatsoever. We're going to talk about it as a full class time probably in 2 weeks. More arguments there. Okay? But obedience. What is obedience? Briefly. Anyone?
Following directions.
Okay, following directions, what somebody gives you. Let's do even simplify it. Okay, doing what you are told. Okay? I put that in a different category. So I agree with you fully. I'm just splitting that out. I just went to obedience first because it's the one we think of. Honor your parents, you have to obey your parents. There's way more to it than obeying your parents. Way more to it than obeying your parents, okay? Obedience, here's some passages here. In the O's there, I think it's on the fourth page. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Colossians 3:20, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. And notice it says in all things. It's telling you to do that. What if you disagree with your parents? The biblical response to that would be, so what? That's the concept of submitting to authority. I disagree. I think it's a dumb idea. I think I can do it better. If I were in charge, I would do it differently. Welcome to submission, right? That's exactly what submission's about. Obey your parents. I have Ephesians again there. Again, I'm working off of two lists that I sorted. How about this? Deuteronomy 21, if a man is a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and who, when they have chastened him, will not heed them, then his father and mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of his city, to the city gate of his city, and they shall say to the elders of his city, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious, he will not obey our voice, he is a glutton and a drunkard, seemingly old enough to be on his own, not necessarily on his own, but he's big enough to be a drunken and a glutton. He's doing his own thing. So we would probably call this a teenager or a young adult at this point. He's too big to handle, but he won't listen. Then all the men of this city shall stone him to death with stones, and you shall put away the evil from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. Is this for today? I don't believe it's for today, but what does it teach us? How seriously God took obeying parents, right? He still seems to follow that it may be well with you and live long on the earth. God seems to still follow that idea, though, right? Does that make sense? You'll either have a good life and a long life if you honor your parents, or you won't because you didn't, right? This is kind of a forced way of doing it. Here's the same passage just a little bit earlier. It says, it's actually Deuteronomy 27. Cursed is the one who treats his father or his mother with contempt. And all the people shall say amen. They had to go through this list, and they would, I think, if I'm not mistaken, there was like a choir, or they split the nation into two groups, and one would say this, and the other side would say amen. So cursed is anyone who treats his parents with contempt. Now all of a sudden, notice here, it's his parents. It's not children. When we think of little kids, it's anyone that treats his parents with contempt. There's no age distinction in the concept of honoring your parents. There's no age restriction. Again, that's in a couple weeks more. And what does it mean to treat with contempt? I put some of the definition there. To disgrace, dishonor, to lightly esteem. In other words, I don't pay attention to what they say. To be dishonored, to be despised. And then different forms of the Hebrew word. To be dishonored, despised, lightly esteemed. To treat with contempt, dishonor, to treat shamefully. That's I don't know where I got the definition. I know where I got it from, but I don't know what the reference is. Deuteronomy 33:9 says this. Who says of his father and mother, I have not seen them, nor did he acknowledge his brothers or know his own children, for they have observed your word and kept your covenant. And the context here is the people are saying, I don't know who you're talking, I'm acting as though I don't have parents. I'm disregarding what they say. I haven't heard them or seen them. And nor did he acknowledge his brothers. Implication that brothers take on the dad role. To some degree, your family is intended to influence you. If they, you know, remember in the Old Testament, the Levirate marries, they said, you know, if it was the responsibility of the next of kin to marry your wife, if you died, would you not care who your brother was marrying? Hello? Yes. Okay. So the idea of just ignoring him, ignoring your parents. Proverbs 30, the eye that mocks his father and scorns obedience to his mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it up and the young eagles will eat it. Kind of the idea that you'll die, right? That's the implication. You're going to meet with a harsh death. Ezekiel 22:7, if in you they have made light of father and mother, in your midst they have oppressed the stranger, and in you they have mistreated the fatherless and the widow. And here it is, they've just made light of their parents. That isn't necessarily making fun of them. They just don't... To honor is the word to give weight to. So to dishonor would be to treat somebody lightly, not to pay attention to them. Okay? That's what honor means. And so that's what it says here. They've made light of... it's not a big deal. So what? It's just my parents. Okay? And God is describing how they have spiritually departed, and here's some of the description. They made light of their parents, they've oppressed the stranger, and they've mistreated the fatherless and the widow. All of those go hand in hand. It's a selfish existence. Micah 7:6, for son dishonors father, daughter rises against her mother, daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own household. Again, describing the spiritual decline of the nation Israel in Micah. There is no respect in their own households now. Okay? Questions or comments with regard to obedience? Obedience is doing what you're told by your parents. Marv. Yep, the Bible doesn't say honor your parents if they're saved. It doesn't say that anywhere. Honor your parents if they're perfect. Honor the parents if they don't sin. Honor the parents if they haven't blown it yesterday. It's an unconditional thing apart from obeying God rather than man area. Okay, and we're going to get to that. It's still for our benefit, isn't it, Mark? It still benefited us. Even if it wasn't perfect pointing, they still protected us, provided for us, saved us some grief, by and large, our parents did. The least imperfect parents are, you know, allowed you to live. Wow, hello, they kept you alive. You couldn't stay alive on your own. You know, all of that. And by the way, God actually brings that up as a point of reference. They brought you into the world. You owe an honor for that. Without all the extra logic and stipulation. That alone. I remember I have a dear friend, and I would say that it would be fair to say that he hates his father. His father was a womanizer and eventually abandoned this friend's mother and his sibling. He has a sister. And to this day, you know, where's your father? I don't know. He has a stepfather, but which he loves and all, but he just hates his father because of all that he did, you know, just being mean to his family and stuff. I don't even know if he's still alive. I don't care. And it's like, I understand some of that bitterness, not that I've ever been in that situation, because I had a good family life. I had a dad that honored his wife and stuff like, you know, was faithful to him and so on, faithful to her. But you still, there's some respect. That doesn't mean you have to respect him because of what he's done. But you respect him because he's your father. So that's a huge thing, you know. So, Mark. Right. And that goes back to roles of men and women and the place of physical intimacy and all of that. It's all together. And by the way, I think it all builds on Genesis 1 and 2. You know, God created male and female, and bearing children was intended, but only within marriage. Things like that. And you know what? You can't choose to leave your family. You know, so not to say that people haven't done that over the years, but it was considered a realm of cowardice and, you know, whatever words you can think of that would be absolutely wrong. So, all right. I'm just looking through here because these are kind of in alphabetical order. Let's go to it's the third page at the bottom. Kindness. I'm looking for K. And let's go to listen first. Lynn mentioned listen. So it's at the bottom of the same page. There's four of them. These are in Proverbs. And notice here, my son, Proverbs 1:8, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother. Now listen, both of them seem to imply somebody that's older, but also pay attention and don't forsake it. That's a preliminary to, again, when does this cease? I believe that the direction your parents point you is intended to keep going unless there's reason otherwise to go in a different direction. You're supposed to be an arrow in the hands of your father, and you're going in a direction that he aims until God turns you otherwise. And you don't do it in a disrespectful fashion even then. You explain to your parents and all of that. That's an honoring way to do it. Proverbs 10:1, a wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is the grief of his mother. Wise, you're listening to your parents. And by the way, your parents want you to be wise. The most sinful people, I believe, sinful parents still want their kids to be wise. You know, maybe their concept of wisdom is skewed, but they don't want their kid to be foolish. Proverbs 15:20, a wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish man despises his mother. It has to, remember what he said, we make our parents glad when we obey them, when we honor them, and ultimately it's to become wise. My kids, I want them to become wise, and I want them to be wiser than I am. And I have been. You know, that isn't an offense to me, to be smarter and wiser than I am, okay? It makes a wise son makes a father glad. A foolish man, what's he doing? He's just despising his mother. There's something about the course of life that you take that is a direct affront to your parents if you choose to be foolish. Proverbs 23, verses 22 to 26. Listen, now here's, it ties it into birth, okay? Listen to your father who begot you. When does that change? Never, right? And do not despise your mother when she is old. Which seems like, you know what? Is your mom old just when you're little? She seems old, but no. Despise would be not just neglect her when she's old, but pay attention to her. Listen to her. Buy the truth and do not sell it. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who begets a wise child will delight in him. Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her who bore you, now it's talking about your mother who bore you, rejoice. My son, give me your heart and let your eyes observe my ways. Does that sound like it's only when you're little? It seems like a lifelong process of listening and honoring your parents. And I believe the Western culture has done that willful orphaning of ourselves from our parents. Okay, we've abandoned the influence of our parents that God expected to continue on throughout our life. That doesn't mean we're not growing and becoming wise and able to make choices that maybe would differ from our parents, but I believe it should be in conjunction with interacting with their parent. Okay? You see that in Scripture. You don't see that in our life anymore. Questions or comments? That's the listening part. There's more to be had. Let me tell you where we're going. Next week we will cover care for them in their old age. In death, you see that as it will, it's something we will do. It's expected. Kindness, this is probably where we'll pick up next. Physical and verbal kindness. There's also moral respect that we'll get into next week. And then we'll talk a little about the rejection of that you see in Romans 1 and 2 Timothy 3, which seems to not imply just younger kids. It's people disobey their parents, and it's not talking about little kids in their home because that's part of the process. Little children are disobeying their parents. That's part of the process of the parents training them. What's the issue when older children, if you will, disobey their parents? They despise their parents. So that's where we're going next week. Some of the other stuff is there. On the back, it was something I did in FWAP, I don't know, a couple months ago. And it's kind of a quick summary, but it's not a full summary. It's a little bit of a poem. How do you honor your parents? God commands our parents to honor. And how do we honor our father and mother? And there's four things that I summarize. This is from the book of Proverbs, not from the law, which brings out some other things as well. But carefully listen to what they say, diligently do what you were told, respectfully speak to and about them, and care for them when they grow old. Okay, so that's a little poem that kind of summarizes it. There's more to it than that we'll cover next week, but that's a good little ditty there. So, questions or comments about where we've been today? Go ahead, Valerie. Yes. Yeah, without arguing the college point altogether, because I think that's hazardous today, to say the least. What does it look like today when kids go off to college or whatever? What does it look like to honor your parents still or obey your parents? Is that accurate? I would say that your major choices involve your parents. If I could summarize that in one statement, okay? And you are doing things based upon what your parents have taught you. So you're making choices based upon their influence already. You know what's right and wrong. You follow their path. You put it in your heart. My son, let your heart keep my commands for length of days, long life, and peace. They'll add to you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of my heart. That's in Proverbs 3. And they'll be health to your navel and marrow to your bones kind of idea. The idea that they're supposed to help you make those moral choices and those difficult choices wherever you're at. You don't say, well, now I'm 18. I'll make up my own mind and disregard what my parents say. That is dishonoring your parents. That is disobeying your parents. So you do, whether you're in a dorm room or whatever, you're doing what your parents taught you. And then when you're making choices, you should be interacting all along, but when you're making choices too, it's like, hey, I'm having a tough time at this. Help me with this. Direct me with this. Give me advice about this or whatever. That doesn't mean that you're some kind of puppet, but your parents will give you insight that you cannot gain apart from huge amounts of time and experience, and that's what your parents have. They see stuff, they might have blown it. We do that with our children, some with regard to even the dating and courtship thing. We believe you should have influence of your parents and even some protection and guards placed there by your parents because of things that we did that we didn't have. Okay, and we think we see things more clearly now than we did. Okay, and that doesn't hurt anyone, that helps people. Okay, so that kind of idea, but, you know, making decisions, interacting, you know, life choices should be there. And I believe if your parents say you shouldn't do something, that should be weighty with what you do. This is the wild fringe. How many have met Ken Pardock? You know, Ken across the way here. He and Deb just got married. Deb Dunwoody. She's been here many times as well. Ken used to attend church here. You know why it was July 29th to 25th of this year when they got married? Because she would not get married until her dad said she could. When Ken's divorced, and that was an issue with her dad, but she was not going to do that apart from her dad's blessing. And do you think that's wild? I think that is absolutely biblical. So don't say people don't do stuff today. I don't know all of the logic of her dad, but she followed him regardless of his logic. And guess what? He wanted her best. That was his motivation. I don't know his logic, and it really isn't that relevant, but she is a standard of what it means. I don't even know how old's Deb. I don't know. She can't be much younger than I am. She goes to the First Assembly of God over there. I think the one in Merle Hay, the big one, I think. Yeah. But I'm saying, understand that if God considers honoring your parents more weighty than murder and adultery and brings it up over and over again, that is something that I believe that God intended to guide all of culture, not just until you're 18. It was a protection and it was an infrastructure that was intended to help pass on the faith. Let me ask you this, and you see it even in examples, and maybe, yeah, it was in the Old Testament. But remember when the brothers of Joseph sold them into Egypt? 20 years later, the dad tells the sons to go get food in Egypt. He heard, how old is the dad and how old are the sons? He was 120. His sons would have been in their 80s. Now, did dad run all the details of their life? I guarantee you he didn't. And he didn't want to. But there was a patriarchy there, and what did that do? That gave strength to the family. That didn't deter from the family. That gave strength to the family. Now, was everyone perfect? Jacob was terrible when he was younger, right? He was a deceiver. All right, it doesn't mean everything was good, and he deceived his father and got the birthright. You know, welcome to Jacob, right? And Joseph ended up being sold because he was obedient to his parents. You know, it doesn't always turn out good, but God meant it for good. The bigger plan. And they went back, and they wouldn't go to Egypt. He said, go back and get more food. You know, they kept, who did they keep? Simeon? Because it wouldn't bring Benjamin. It's like, Judah was saying, hey, we can't go back or they'll kill us all as spies. We're liars in there, you know. And they would not go until Jacob said, okay. And they were in their 80s. Some of the sons were. And it's like, or I think of even Isaac and Abraham. How old was Isaac when he got married? When did he start dating? He never dated. He was 40 years old, and when did that come about? And I don't know the logic of Abraham. Why did you wait until you were 40? 40 wasn't that old back then. Abraham lived to be close to 200. So 40 is like, you know, probably our 20. But Abraham initiated the marriage even. Well, he's 40 years old. He's a big boy now. But he gave stipulations to Eliezer. This is who you go, where you go, who to find, blah, 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 blah. And he got somebody that Isaac was very pleased with. Isaac, the other Isaac. I'm not talking here. I'm sure he'd be happy to. So, Jubal's engaged to Isaac. So we found that out Wednesday. So yay, next year. I don't like him already. No, I'm teasing. I think it's right for the woman to join the man, wherever he's at. So, all right, enough. We've rattled onward. We're going to pick up here next week. Please keep these notes because we're going to use them when? Next week, okay? Let's pray. Lord, bless our study. Help us to wade through this. Lord, we know we're living in a culture that's completely different, even in a Christian culture that has largely set this aside. We are, in some ways, a product of the influence over the years. We ask, Lord, that you would help us to learn what is true from your word and order our steps in that direction. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.